12. Last week I said we'd start a two-part series on the rapture. And on the way out, somebody said, well, we just need to spend a whole lot more time on the rapture than just two Sundays. Kind of chuckled, and we chuckled together a little bit. We'll make a long story short, it's now a five-part series. So here we go. The title this morning is Rapture Ready. How many here this morning has heard the word rapture? Yeah. It's an amazing thing because that word is not in the Bible. There's another word that's in the Bible that takes the place of this particular word. But because this word rapture is not in there, there are a lot of people that believe that the rapture is a fallacy. They look beyond these descriptive scriptures that we have and don't believe it or don't even know it because the word is not in the Bible. But it is. The word rapture really comes from a Latin word called raptuo, which is a translation of the Greek word caught up. Now, I'll give you just a couple of sentences of history here. Is way back in the day, I used to know the year, but I don't anymore. When they translated the Bible from Greek into Latin, that work came up and was known as the Latin Vulgate. And in this Latin Vulgate, which was the Bible originally for a few years there, the Bible as they knew it, was this word rapturo, which means rapture, which means caught up in Christ. Well, then they translated the Latin Vulgate into English, and somewhere along that translation, this particular word got left out. Doesn't mean that it's not going to happen. Doesn't mean that it's not there. But for whatever reason, it didn't make it into the English translation. So, let me start out with that there was a movie that talked about the rapture. And this film deals with a lady by the name of Patty, who is a young woman who knows and has heard the Christian gospel, but dismissed it, believing that doing good work, going to church, and trying her best to follow the Ten Commandments is all that was necessary. Then one afternoon, her husband disappeared, along with millions of others. Little by little, Patty realized that the rapture had taken place. Now, this is an amazing thing. They talk about this is going to happen in a twinkling of an eye. There's going to be cars just sitting on the highway with nobody in it. There's going to be airplanes flying when the captain's gone. What used to be a full house in the plane is now going to be several empty seats. You're going to think that your husband or wife is out back working on the flowers, and you can't find her. And this goes on and on and on and on. So nowadays, you don't hear much about the rapture, and you don't hear about many Christians talking about it. But how many know that Jesus is coming back for his church? I think it's fair to say that most people that profess to be Christians believe that there is going to be a day that Christ is coming back. I'm not sure they understand or know the sequence that's going to happen. And this sequence is what our five-part series is going to be. And it starts out with the rapture. So the question we have here this morning is are we rapture ready? Well, you say, well, Pastor Gary, I come to church every Sunday. Well, okay, that's great. But the question is, are you ready? Or you say, I give my offering all the time. Yay, good deal. But the question is, are you ready? You say, I pray before I eat. Awesome. But the question is, are you ready? You say that I do this and I do that for church. But the question is, are you ready? In Acts chapter 26, it talks about King Agrippa. King Agrippa was the last Herodian king of Judah. He was actually the grandson of Herod the Great. There was a few in between there. But King Agrippa, in Acts it says this, that do you think that in such a short time you can persuade me to be a Christian? This is the king talking to Paul. And Paul replied, short time or long, I pray to God that not only you, but all who are listening to me today may become what I am, except for these chains. So imagine someone who almost gave his or her life to God and then missing out on the rapture. Imagine this. The rapture's taking place, and to be left with the thought of, well, I was in church and I heard the preacher, but I wanted to play games, so I almost got saved. What about I went to church faithfully, but I wasn't ready to commit to God, so I almost got saved. I seen altar call after altar call after altar call, and I didn't go. I almost got saved. Imagine missing the rapture, thinking to yourself that I almost got saved. I hope we have no one here this morning that is almost saved. I wasn't going to say this, but I am. I suspect there are some here this morning that are almost saved. I hope all of us here this morning are rapture ready. Jesus is coming back soon, and I hope you and I are rapture ready. Let's take a look at some of the things that will happen before the rapture and what is happening in our world today. I believe taking a look at these will show you and I how close we are to the second coming of our Lord and Savior. Now, having said that, people have been saying we're close to Jesus returning for 2,000 years. All that means is we're 2,000 years closer. And there are some signs. There are some things that the scripture tells us that we are to see and look for that indicates that we're getting closer and closer. One of them is the increase of knowledge and travel. In Daniel 12, verses 4, it says, but as for you, Daniel, conceal these words and seal up the book until the end of time. Many will go back and forth, and knowledge will increase. You see, the Bible tells us, Daniel, that there will be an increase of knowledge and travel in the last days. I don't know if you know this, but we've had an increase in knowledge in our generation like no other generation has had in the entire history of time. Let me give you some examples. From the Garden of Eden to now, men used torches and candlelights. But now we have flashlights, neon lights, light bulbs, and laser lights. From the Garden of Eden to now, men used to use smoke signals and Morse code to communicate with one another. But now we have radio, TV, cell phones, satellite, fiber optics, and the good old internet. You know, with the simple app on your phone, you can pretty much get in touch with anyone across the world instantly. From the Garden of Eden to now, men used horses and buggies and animals to travel. But now we've gone from trains to cars to planes to being able to fly from New York to Paris in about 3 hours. Now we even have the ability to travel to the moon. And they tell us we're not too far away from putting man on Mars. Look at what the Hubble telescope has done for us. They're looking at things that are just beyond our comprehension. They're looking at stars that are being born that are millions of light years away from us. This is all knowledge. Billy Graham said one time that 90% of all engineers and scientists who has ever lived are alive today. We have an explosion of knowledge in this generation. Number two, the birth of nuclear war. Zechariah 14 verses 12, it says, "And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem." Listen to this. "Their flesh shall consume away while they stand up on their feet. Their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouths." We can't imagine that. That's unfathomable for us. But Zechariah said so. This is a perfect illustration of what can happen to someone in a nuclear war. Has anybody ever seen the documentaries of Nagasaki and Hiroshima? Yeah. It's amazing. It's amazing. The one that stuck with me is where people were standing on the sidewalk and the bomb, the flash of the bomb, was so bright that to this day you can see the shadow of that image on the side of a building. How many years later? Before the invention of the atom bomb and the hydrogen bomb, one might have wondered how this could happen. How can your flesh be consumed while standing on your feet? How can your eyes be consumed in their holes and their tongues consumed away in their mouth? When you and I found out what a nuclear weapon can do and how it destroys, you can see this is a clear picture of what can happen in a nuclear war. Let's take a look at some of the nuclear weapons that we have, and then we'll just move on. The first atomic bomb test released the same amount of energy as approximately 20,000 tons of TNT. A modern thermonuclear weapon weighing little more than 2,400 pounds can produce an explosive force comparable to the detonation of more than 1.2 million tons of TNT. Even a small nuclear device, no larger than our traditional bombs, can devastate an entire city by blast, fire, and radiation. The H-bomb can produce the heat of 150 million degrees in 1 millionth of a second. The temperature of the center of a nuclear bomb can reach temperatures hotter than the core of the sun. The temperature of the center of a nuke is usually between 50 and 150 million degrees Fahrenheit, and anything around the point at which the bomb was destroyed would literally be instantly vaporized to nothing. So, we go back to what Zechariah said. Their eyes shall be consumed away in the holes. Their tongues shall be consumed away in their mouths. Their bodies will disappear while standing on their feet. It's not hard to understand, is it now? When we put it into perspective, when we reach reality with this, This is just another sign that we are close to coming of the Lord. The question is, are we ready? Are we ready for the coming of the Lord? Three, technology of the mark of the beast. We've heard so much about the mark of the beast. Nowadays, we have the technology for the mark of the beast. When Revelations was written, there were no computers. There were no credit cards or ATMs or even electricity. Revelations 13, verses 16 and 17 says, "And he causes all the small and the great, the rich and the poor, the free men and the slaves, to be given a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. And no one will be able to buy or to sell except the one who has this mark, either the number of the beast or the number of his name." So what is the mark of the beast? It is a combination of letters and symbols that will be physically and permanently placed on the forehead or on the right hand. I guess in our terms, we could say tattoo. Maybe it's branded. We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. Most people will consider it an honor to receive the mark. It will be like a key for them that will open doors of acceptance and prosperity and peace. These are the promises of the beast. The mark of the beast will be placed on people who worship the beast and choose to receive his mark. People will be asking for his mark. There will be severe penalties for refusing the mark and great rewards for getting it. Eventually, you'll be required by law to get the mark. And if you can't buy or sell without it, how will you live? Not long ago, there were three, this is true by the way, there were three members of a family in Florida that became the first people to receive a biochip implant. Each device, made of silicone and called a Verichip, is a small radio transmitter about the size of a piece of rice that is injected under the person's skin. It transmits a unique personal ID number whenever it is within a few feet of a special receiver. Verichip makers describe it as a miniaturized, implantable, radio frequency identification device that can be used in a variety of security, emergency, and healthcare applications. This is what they were selling the people. We'll have all of your medical records instantly when we scan your chip. We'll know your birth. We'll know your wife. We'll know your parents. We'll know your children. We'll know this. We'll know that. We'll be able to provide security. If somebody robs you, we'll know this. I mean, they were just given all kinds of a bill of sale on this thing. And this family in Florida has the Verichip today. Is the Verichip the mark of the beast to be used by Antichrist? We don't know. But we do know this. What is significant is that people are being softened to the idea of a mark or an implant as a means of maintaining security, providing medical information, and regulating a more interdependent world. Crack the door open a little bit. A little bit, a little bit, a little bit, a whole lot. This is how they do these things. We're being softened to this idea of Verichips. As attitudes change, fear subsides, and people are convinced of the need for such a mark, the true mark of the beast will be easily introduced to the world by the Antichrist. So what happens if you get the mark of the beast? If you worship the beast and receive the mark, you will receive the complete wrath of God. The book of Revelations gives us this strong warning. In 14, chapter 14, verses 9 and 10, it reads, "A third angel followed them and said in a loud voice, 'If anyone worships the beast and is and its image and receives its mark on their forehead or on their hand, they too will drink the wine of God's fury, which has been poured full strength into the cup of his wrath. They will be tormented with burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and of the Lamb.'" Tormented with burning sulfur. But I have some good news. I have some great news. If you are rapture ready, then we don't have to be concerned about getting or denying the mark of the beast. Because the rapture will take place before all of this happens. There's just a few signs that the coming of the Lord is near. The question is, are you rapture ready? He had two choices. You can accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You can be saved just by asking Christ to come into your heart. And when we hear the trumpet sound and Christ comes again, we will go with him. Or you can not ask Christ. You can think that just being coming to church is good enough, or just giving to hungry people is good enough, or just doing this or just doing that is good enough, without really personally accepting Christ as your Savior. Then you're going to go through all of this. You're going to be asked, you're going to be forced to receive the mark of the beast unless you're rapture ready. Are you ready for the coming of the Lord? Or if the Lord Jesus was to come right now, how many empty seats would we have? I can tell you one thing. You ain't going to have a preacher, because I'm rapture ready. I've accepted Christ as my Savior. I don't worry about this mark. I know what my future is. You don't have to wander this morning. You can give your lives to God and be ready when the coming of the Lord is here. I encourage you, now is the time to stop playing games. Now is the time to get serious. Now is the time for you to go for all that God has for you, because we don't have much time. We're 2,000 plus years closer. The clock is ticking. And Jesus is on his way. Are you ready? Let me read just a couple of verses here. In the flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. When Jesus comes, those that have gone before us will rise from the grave and meet Christ in the air. And then we will go, if you're rapture ready. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, We who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. If you're rapture ready. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Now, brothers and sisters, about time and dates, we do not need to write to you. For you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Like a thief in the night. So I ask you this morning. Are you rapture ready? You can be. If you're not right now, just by getting on your knees, either physically or mentally, and ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart. Ask Jesus Christ to be your own personal Savior. You are rapture ready. And all of these things that we're going to talk about in the next 4 weeks will not apply to us, like the tribulation. And we're going to end up with our series talking about the glory of heaven. I ask you once again, are you rapture ready? And all of God's people said, amen.